The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast is brought to you by Triple Threat Sports. For all your team outfitting needs, call Chris at 708-478-6090. Marishka's in Crest Hill, family owned and operated since 1933. And Chuck's Southern Comforts Cafe with locations in Burbank and Darien. Visit chuckscafe.com. Let's drop the puck.
Welcome to the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast with NBCChicago.com's James Naveau and 670 The Score's hockey guy, Jay Zawoski.
Here I am, Chicago!
Woo! Welcome into a pain medication-fueled edition of the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. My name is James Naveau from NBC5 Chicago. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the well-bearded, the well-respected Jay Zawoski. Jay,
hey,
how you doing today, buddy?
It is good. It's hot, so I'm very happy to be in my basement, where it is about 65 degrees. The floors are ice cold. It's just glorious. It's wonderful down here.
Unfortunately, I'm in a third-floor apartment, so I don't get that luxury. I have to sit in front of the AC all day and really kind of soak up the cold in that way.
I would say in our house, there's a 20-degree increase every floor you go to. Like, that's how it feels. Like, okay, I just went up from the basement to the main floor. It's a little warmer up here. And then we go upstairs to the bedrooms, and it's like, oh, my God.
The penthouse on the fifth floor is really, really hot this time of year.
Yeah, except, yes. You've seen my luxurious home, yes.
Your palatial estate.
It depends on which suite you're referring to, but yes, they're both very warm. Anyway, you know, here we are doing our weekly podcast. We're in the middle of the Stanley Cup final, and I guess I have to say, if we want to start there, that I'm a little bit surprised that it's Nashville trailing in the series. And it's kind of the Hawks fans are familiar with this, kind of the randomness factor where you feel like you've really outplayed a team for an entire series, but here you are sort of looking up and trailing with two games to go here. Man, I still think Nashville's better. I still think they can win it, but they're in not in great shape right now. So they're going to have to win a game in Pittsburgh, which is not an ideal situation. But look, I still think they've been overall the better team. Pekka Rinne at home has obviously been a different guy than he's been on the road, but
it's
frustrating. It's got to be frustrating for the Predators to play as well as they have and to still be trailing in the series.
Yeah, it's been kind of crazy watching Pekka Rinne kind of go wildly between being, you know, a world beater, can't be, you know, contained at home, but then he goes on the road and lays really three eggs. It's been absolutely crazy watching him play. And the difference between the way he's played at Bridgestone and the way he's played in Pittsburgh, it's hard for me to believe it's the same guy that's in net, really.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, and he was a guy that a lot of people had sort of written off over the last couple of years, and I'm sort of among them. Like, I thought he was he's a good quarterback. He's a good goalie, but he's not. I don't think he was kind of a franchise guy anymore. He was for the early part of his years in Nashville, for sure. But then during these playoffs, he was sort of what was carrying them to the Cup final, and it's weird to see him. Maybe he ran out of gas. Who knows? But he has been not great in those games in Pittsburgh, and I don't know if you can chalk it up to, you know, I think a lot of people try to look at, like, oh, well, like, the fans are too loud and blah, 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 and it's distracting him. I don't know if it's anything like that. I think it's just, you know, Pittsburgh has been a different team at home, too. They've been better at home. They haven't been great either place, but they've been better at home. Game five, obviously, they were outstanding. I picked the Predators to win the Cup, as we've mentioned several times, and thank you for that. And I'm going to stick with it, but they're behind the eight ball right now. So Rene's going to have to stand on his head in probably that game seven if it happens. And, boy, I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I really am. I think this has been a great series. I know none of the games have been close, but the hockey's been really good, you know?
I would agree with that, yeah. I definitely think it's been a clinic about how good Sidney Crosby is. It's been a clinic about what a good coach Sullivan is for the Penguins. And it's had a lot of really interesting subplots and elements to it. And I've enjoyed the hockey. I've definitely enjoyed the atmosphere in Nashville. And Pittsburgh being able to go into their home rink and dominate the way that they have. I know it can be kind of boring watching a blowout every single game. It's still been entertaining to me.
Yeah. I mean, because if you're going to compare it to the NBA Finals, which are going on simultaneously, there's been some blowout games there, too, but it just hasn't felt, I don't know, the same excitement. It feels like, doesn't it feel like with the NBA, all the excitement is, like, kind of not about the game itself? It's all kind of, we talked about this last week a little bit, too. Like, it's all about the, LeBron and Kevin Durant, like, jawing at each other and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't seem like the game itself really... There have been quarters. There have been excellent quarters that have been like, damn, that was fantastic. But for the most part...
Yeah, the first quarter of Game 4, holy crap.
Yeah.
That was some of the best basketball I have ever seen.
Well, anyway, speaking of that, you had the thing with P.K. Subban and Sidney Crosby the other day, and you heard what our pal Mike Milbury said, right? Said that P.K. Subban had it coming to have his head shoved on the ice time after time after time. What did he do to have it coming? Let me know. Was it the jokes about the bad breath that Sidney Crosby made himself that he was responding to? I don't want to do a whole other Milbury show. I really don't.
But no, we've definitely said our piece about that guy. We've definitely hit him with enough shoes over the years, but it's just so annoying. It's hard to describe at this point, you know?
Yeah, it's just... This is it. You know, you've got the best thing that happened in the NHL all week was when Charles Barkley showed up and gave some analysis during the intermission. That was really the best thing to have. Was like, wow, look at this guy. He's actually has thoughts on the game. Like, he was actually talking about players and games and things like that, as opposed to retribution and deserving it. And God, stop it.
Have him and Jeremy Roenick go hunt some catfish. I'd rather watch that than Mike Milbury do whatever it is that he does.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because have we reached the point now where this is what Jeremy Roenick is?
Yeah.
He's like the human interest story, go do some goofy crap and we'll pay you for it, because his analysis.
And he's good at it.
That's the stuff he's good at. Exactly. Like, it started off, I remember him in like the Winter Classics talking to people in the stands. That's fine. Hey, is this section loud? Yeah. Okay, cool. Great. Good job, JR. You know, back in your cage. The catfish stuff, the hot chicken thing that they did on Snapchat yesterday, pretty good. That's the stuff I think it's sort of made for him. He's not an analyst. When they ask him to analyze, he just becomes a cliche machine, right? And and it's tough. Broadcasting's not easy. I think a lot of people just think that, oh, I can go and just talk hockey. It's really easy. Well, it's really not.
Well, we do it.
Right. But this is not easy. It's not interesting to be compelling every week and have a fresh thought every week.
That is true.
You know, it's not. It's a hard thing to do. And for a guy who's never had practice in it, who, like, I've gotten better at it because I've been doing it for 17 years. And I just sort of absorb, you know, my hosting on air is very limited. But just being around it, you absorb tricks. You sort of notice little trends that good broadcasters have. And you try to adopt those or adapt those as best you can. But for Jeremy Roenick, who just came off the ice and was thrown in a booth, and we're going to see it with Tony Romo this year and with Jay Cutler this year in the NFL, it's difficult to go in there and actually add something of value. So he's struggled with that. I thought he'd be a natural because he's always been opinionated. He's always been, he would always say what was on his mind. He would never hold back. But it seems like since he's been given the suit and tie and the microphone that he's just sort of become this cliche bot. And it's disappointing, but maybe now that he's willing to jump in a river and grab a catfish and eat a hot chicken sandwich, maybe they have found their role for Jeremy Roenick as like the likable goof who just goes and humiliates himself for the good of the broadcast.
It's the culture of the sport, man. It robs you of your personality, it feels like. You know, like it you look at guys like Sidney Crosby who... very vanilla answers, doesn't really give you a lot of punch. I feel like it's just, that's the way hockey is, you know? Like, that's kind of the vibe I get, and that's why I think so many of the guys that are doing the analysis are like that.
Yeah, you're probably right, because you look at, Jonathan Toews spoke up last week about the environment.
And everyone freaked out, man.
Everyone freaked out, like, dude, the guy's allowed to have an opinion outside of hockey. You know, I don't think anyone got mad about it, but there was a lot of stick to. I followed the post on Instagram. It was a lot of like stick to sports, you know, win a faceoff and score a goal in the playoffs, then we'll listen to you, like that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And hockey players are hesitant because of that to do that sort of thing. And it's always, you know, the other thing about hockey is you don't want to draw attention away from the team anytime a player sort of draws attention to themselves personally, it's sort of frowned upon. Again, we go back to PK Subban. He dances in warmups, or he, you know, carries the Listerine bag in with him, you know, to the pregame. Those things are people are mad about in hockey. Think about that. With all the things that happen in the NBA and the NFL and not baseball as much, but those two, probably two most popular sports as far as, like, young people and social media go, the NFL, the NBA, that's good for the sport. And and we have one star in Jonathan Toews who says, you know what, we got to take care of the planet. And all of a sudden, he's this outspoken moron. It's ridiculous. And
that
and hopefully
happens all
over
the time, man.
Yeah, hopefully over the years it starts to change and mature. I feel like hockey's like 15 years behind society.
Yeah.
In terms of those sort of things, so hopefully...
He didn't really say anything that controversial either. I think that's the thing that really bothers me, is that he opened up... He didn't really say anything like, you know, all that tree-hugging-ish, you know? It was more like, hey, we need to be aware of this. And everyone was like, oh, you're being political, blah. It was really weird and really dumb, and I just... Everyone's reaction to it just really frustrated and it kind of annoyed me.
Well, that's the way things are now. It's just, you know, everything has to be black or white. You either are right wing or left wing. So if you're right wing, there's no truth at all to climate change. You know what I mean? Like it's if you're left wing, there's nothing, absolutely nothing Donald Trump can do right. You know what I mean? So it's on both sides. Everyone knows I'm a lefty. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. I'm as liberal as they come. So are you. But there have even been times where Donald Trump
has... How dare you out me as that?
I know, right? Well, SJWs, me and you. But, I mean, there have been things, I'll have to admit, like, during his presidency where Trump has said something totally innocuous that's become a huge story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you know what he meant? Like, this is... You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, you know, not very often, but there have been a few times where you've been like, okay, that was not worthy of the criticism it got. 99% of the time, it is. But those 1% moments, you know... So it's on both sides, but it sucks that, like, can't someone who, you know, voted for Trump or is typically conservative say, yeah, it probably is a good idea to take care of the Earth, right? I don't know.
It's almost like you're saying Jonathan Toews is playing the center role here.
Oh, my God. Just stop.
Never.
Stop it.
Never.
You don't have a kid. You can't have dad jokes.
You see, that is where you're wrong. I'm over the age of 30. I can have whatever I want.
All right, I suppose you're right. All right, we're going to take our first time out of the day. When we come back, we will start talking some hard Blackhawks hockey. There has been some news this week. If you follow me on Twitter, you're aware of it. We will update that as best we can in the next segment. This is the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
It may be hot outside, but it's ice cold in the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. Man, that is just... That's killer radio right there. I'm doing a good job with these transitions. I'm leaving that in. Screw it. Yeah. We are back. Jay and I have been talking about the Stanley Cup Final, but now it's why everybody comes to listen to us. We are going to talk Blackhawks trade rumors now. And best part of this is that Jay has some news, and he's been breaking it all weekend. Jay, tell the good people who may have missed your Twitter feed what the heck is going on with this team right now.
Well, I do have some news. The news is, if you want a great poor boy, you need to go to Marishka's Restaurant, 604 Theodore Street in Crest Hill, just west of Route 53. I'm sorry, I forgot to do the read before the break.
That's
815,
all good,
man. 815-723-9371. I promise there is news on the other side of this. Family-owned and operated at the same location since 1933. They've got the awesome steaks, burgers, the famous poor boy sandwich, all made in-house, steaks, seafoods, chops, the big giant onion rings, the awesome double-baked potatoes, the Icelandic cod that's hand-cut on premises. That's James's favorite. It's outstanding. They've got a full carry-out menu, a great bar loaded with the best craft beers you can imagine. If you have a banquet, you got a party, they can accommodate up to 110 people. So visit Marishkas.com or check them out on Facebook at facebook.com/Marishkas, MERICHKAS, open 7 days a week and close only on Christmas, Easter, the 4th of July, and Thanksgiving. So we want to thank Joe and everybody out at Marishkas. This week I tweeted from the Madhouse Pod Twitter account the Chicago's best segment with Marishkas. So check that out. You get to see a young and chubby Joe given the poor boy sandwich, and they show you how they make them. They don't give away the secret recipe or anything, but you get to go behind the scenes at Marishka's and see just how special it is. We've been telling you about them for years. Go there. You will be a happy person. Okay. So, Friday night, right? I have my nights right? Friday night?
Yes, you do.
I caught wind of a trade rumor. So, as I'm supposed to do in my job, I sort of followed up with some of my better sources, and several of them confirmed to me that it's very likely that a core member of the Blackhawks will be dealt soon. Now, when James and I have talked about core members, we've sort of said Taves, Kane, Hossa, Keith, Seabrook, Hjalmarsson, Crawford.
Right.
Right? Now, you could argue that Artemi Panarin could be considered part of the core. Some people have sort of guessed that it might be Artem Anisimov. I don't know if that's a core-type player. I was told it is definitely not Jonathan Taves. Okay? So cross him off your list when you're trying to connect your dots here. And listen, I'm being 100% honest here. I am telling you guys everything I know. I do not know the player. A lot of people have said, like, oh, I, you know, tell me who it is off the record. Like, I truly don't know. I truly don't know. And if I did know, I would say it, because that'd be cool for me to break that story. But I truly don't know. The other thing I was told is this deal will not help the team in the short term. Okay, so it's going to be, if I'm reading into that, it's going to be a salary dump, or it's going to be a trading a current NHL asset for prospects and or picks. There's no indication the trade is coming soon. I would think, if I'm guessing, a trade this big would probably want to be executed around the NHL draft. But again, I don't have any other info on that. The one thing I did not tweet that I feel is important to note here is that the main source, my best source, the one who's helped me on most of the things that I've broken over my career, said that he knows who it is, but he will not tell me out of respect to the player. Okay, so when you hear something like that, that tells me that it's someone that's been here for a long time. It's someone that's contributed to multiple championships, and it's someone that has a lot of respect in the locker room. So as I'm doing the math here, and I'm trying to figure out who they could be talking about, right? There's two names I sort of land on. Maybe three. One is Brent Seabrook. One is Nicholas Hjalmarsson. And one is Marian Hossa.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three that I could see. Now, again, it's not Jonathan Taves. I could not even begin to imagine a scenario in which they would trade Patrick Kane. Duncan Keith, sort of the same thing. I don't see how they trade Duncan Keith and are a shadow of the team they wanted to be and want to be and try
and
to be.
And really don't save that much money either.
Exactly. So if I'm focusing on names, those are the three. Seabrook, Hossa, and Hjalmarsson. Again, I want to be clear. I do not know who it is. I truly do not know. I would not lie about this. Again, if I knew, me breaking it would be great, and I would look really cool, but I truly don't know who the player is. So I'm just speculating based on what I do know and based on what I've heard from multiple sources. Those are sort of the three names I would kind of isolate on, and I don't know what the return is. I don't know anything like that. Don't know the destination. Just know that it's very likely that a high-profile core member, that's a quote, core member of the team, will be dealt here shortly.
Well, let's kind of break it down here, why it would make sense to trade each of the three guys that you mentioned, because I think you're right. I think it has to be one of those three, I would imagine. Now, Marian Hossa, why would it make sense to trade him? I did some research last night. He's still got a $5.2 million cap hit each of the next 4 years, and his real salary is only $1 million a year. So,
right.
A team trying to get to the salary cap floor needs a big cap hit, but can't afford to outlay a lot of money, could look to get Marian Hossa. Now, there's a catch to that for the Hawks, the cap recapture thing.
Yes.
Every year that Marian Hossa has a higher cap hit than salary, the cap recapture penalty the Blackhawks would have to pay in order to make him go away. And it's a penalty that counts against your salary cap for the remainder of his contract whenever he decides to retire. That number goes down if they keep him. If they don't, they're no longer getting a benefit or a detriment from that deal. DeCapri capture penalty is set, so losing control of that could be a really big deal to them.
Yeah, see, and here's the other thing to look at with Hossa. If you are a, and I said this on the air last night with Julie DeCaro and Maggie Hendricks, who were nice enough to have me on the score with them, if you're a team that's rebuilding, or not rebuilding, but if you're like a young team on the rise and you're looking to add that extra piece, let's say like, the 2010 Blackhawks, right? Marian Hossa is not the kind of guy at this point in his career that you bring in to put you over the top, right? I think in 2010, like the Hawks did with Hossa, it made perfect sense. You knew the decline was coming, but you knew you still had 3-4 really, really solid years left with him. So if I'm a team like Toronto or like Edmonton, who's young, looking for some veteran leadership, I'm not sure Marian Hossa is the kind of guy I want to bring in. Not that he's a bad player, but it's not like he's a vocal leader. He's always been sort of a periphery guy in the locker room, just kind of keeps to himself, quiet guy. Not a bad guy by any means, but he's not a vocal leader, the kind of guy that's going to come in and change the culture. A guy who is that is Brent Seabrook. That's the kind of guy, and when you look at the way Hossa was brought in 2010 by the Hawks, Seabrook, his best years are behind him, absolutely. But he still probably has 2-3 years left of pretty good hockey. Would you say top four level defenseman hockey, right, for Brent Seabrook left for the next 2-3 years?
For sure, yeah.
He is the unquestioned vocal leader of the Blackhawks locker room. Jonathan Toews is the captain. Brent Seabrook is the guy that gets the team going, gets the team motivated. He is the voice in that locker room. So a team like Toronto, a team like Edmonton, or a team in a similar situation, and maybe Calgary would count in that sort of category too, could look to bring in a guy like Brent Seabrook for that cap hit and for that purpose. I don't know. I don't think it's Hossa. I don't know. It's really hard to speculate. And then Nicholas Hjalmarsson, that's the guy who's got the most value, right? That's the guy who can probably bring in the biggest return. You probably wouldn't have to pick up any of his salary to deal him, but it also hurts the team incredibly.
And you're also not saving that much money either. You're saving, what, $4 million? That's nothing, man.
Yeah.
Like, they need a lot more relief than that.
That's why this is so hard to figure out. You know, and Brent Seabrook's, and the other thing, Hjalmarsson has a limited no-movement clause. Seabrook has a full one. I believe Hossa has a full one, right?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, does he not have one at all?
I don't think he does.
Okay.
No.
I want to double check on that.
I mean, I'll have to check on that, but I don't think he does.
But so Hjalmarsson, regardless, would be the easiest guy to move. I just think that, man, if that's kind of the last guy I'm looking to trade. And I know a lot of people talked about it last year during the playoffs. Like, if you look at a guy who is, you know, sort of primed for a decline, it's Hjalmarsson because of the way he plays, that he's always blocking shots, that he's always playing those hard shifts against top competition, that his assignments are typically the hardest, physically, mentally, everything. That's a guy that when he declines, it could be pretty drastic. When you look at his attributes, like, you know, video game attributes like speed, acceleration, things like that, he doesn't have great speed. He doesn't have a great shot. So when he does lose that step, it might show very, very hard on Nicholas Hjalmarsson. Even with that in mind, though, that's kind of the last guy I'm looking to move. I don't know. I think that really, really hurts the team. And like you said, you're not saving that much money.
Hossa does have a no-movement clause, by the way. I apologize.
Okay.
You were correct. I was wrong.
That's all right. We're used to that. No, that's all right. I appreciate you looking it up. Well, I was not looking it up, just sitting here twiddling my thumbs while you did all the work, as usual.
That's how I roll, yeah.
One other news item, too. Marcus Kruger is as gone can be before the deal is actually signed. Before he,
I don't think anyone is surprised by
that
at all.
It's almost 100%. It's as 100% as it can be without it being 100%. How's that?
Sounds good to me.
Until it's official, it's not 100%, but it's pretty almost a certainty that he will be gone before the season starts. And we talked about this, I think, 2 weeks ago, the whole Vegas TVR thing. I don't know if this bigger trade that's coming changes that. The conversation was maybe the Hawks would trade Marcus Kruger to Vegas and say to Vegas, hey, if you take this off our hands, we'll make sure TVR is exposed at the expansion draft so you can get him too. Sort of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Help us out and take the salary sort of a thing. I don't know if this bigger deal changes that, but regardless, Marcus Kruger is as good as gone. So you might want to relabel those number 16. Get your Eddie Olczyk jerseys made. If you had a Marcus Kruger jersey, go get an Eddie Olczyk or a Michel Goulet number 16 jersey.
Hey, where can you do that, Jay?
Well, I'm glad you asked, James. Triple Threat Sports. Obviously, they're the best place in the area to get your NHL jerseys lettered. But did you know? You should know by now. They're also the best place to go if your team needs jerseys. Whether you're an elite travel, high school, or college program that needs to outfit hundreds of kids, or if you're a beer and pizza league team with 12 players, Triple Threat can put you in pro-quality jerseys at pricing you can afford. Triple Threat Sports can work with you on every aspect of the job. Logo design, fitting, apparel for off-ice, you name it. And you don't have to be a hockey player to wear uniforms from Triple Threat. They can get uniforms and apparel for all sports, baseball, softball, football, lacrosse, and more. So for more info, call our pal Chris at 708-478-6090. That's 708-478-6090. Or email him for more info at chris@triplethreatsports.com. Triple Threat Sports, if you can wear it, they can make it. When we return from this break, James and I will fill you in on how you can enter to win NHL draft tickets, courtesy of the Chicago Blackhawks, of James Naveau, of our friends at the Wrigleyville Nation podcast, and of course of the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. Stay tuned for that. We'll be right back on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
Welcome back to the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. We've been talking about the Blackhawks trade rumors, been talking about the Stanley Cup Final, and now it is time for us to tell you how you can win NHL draft tickets. Jay, how can people get tickets from us to go to the NHL draft?
All right, well, first and foremost, we need to help the people that contributed to this giveaway. That is first you, who is supplying a pair of your own to the NHL draft. Then the Chicago Blackhawks, who have donated 8 total tickets, so 4 pairs for so it's 2 pair for Friday, which is the first round, and 2 pair for Sunday, the rest of the rounds. So thank you to Adam Rogwin and all the folks at the Blackhawks for that, and our friends at the Wrigleyville Nation podcast, who had some extra tickets they couldn't use and sent them over to us as well. Wrigleyville Nation is the podcast that helped us sort of get off the ground. They gave us advice on how to start, where to start, things like that. So without them, we would not have a Madhouse podcast. So we thank them. Check them out on patreon.com as well. Help them out. It's a great Cubs podcast. The Cubs are pretty big these days. You may have noticed. Check out the Wrigleyville Nation podcast for an awesome, awesome podcast. All right, so here's the rules. And James and I sort of discussed how to do this and what to do. And we figured the best and most fair way to do it is to make this a Patreon donor only prize. Okay, so that might sound unfair. You might be pissed off and say, oh, that sucks. I think that we should be eligible. I understand that. I understand why you would feel that way. But for about a year and a half, we've had a Patreon site. Probably not even. Probably just about a year.
Yeah.
We've had a Patreon site, and we have not really been able to thank the donors in any way since that started. So this is what we're going to do. If you are a Patreon donor to our site, you have until Saturday, June 17th at 11:59 p.m. to send an email to madhousepod@gmail.com. That's madhousepod@gmail.com. Make the subject of your email draft ticket entry, and make sure you include the best phone number to reach you and the contest keyword taco.
Oh, nice. All right. Touch, man.
So the reason we're doing it this way is I don't want to pick all the patrons like just out of a hat and then call, say, you know, Bob Jones and say, Bob, you won. He's like, all right, well, I can't go. So we only want people that can go to the draft to enter this contest. Okay, that way we're making sure that we're not chasing down alternative winners when the first people turn it down. If you can go to the draft Friday the 23rd and or Saturday the 24th, let us know. If you can only go one of the days, let us know that too, and we'll only enter you in that one day's drawing. Okay, so make sure you put that note in there as well. If both Friday and Saturday don't work for you, let us know the date it does work, and we'll do our best to accommodate it. So again, send an email to madhousepod@gmail.com with draft ticket entry as your subject. Inside, include the best phone number to reach you and the contest keyword taco, and you will be entered to win draft tickets. We'll do the drawing that weekend. It'll be probably, I'll do them on Sunday the 18th, and we'll get everybody entered. We'll get in touch with everybody, and we'll do it from there. So we're very excited to do this again. Thanks to the Hawks. Thanks to Jeremy and our friends at the Wrigleyville Nation podcast. And, of course, to the very handsome James Naveau, who donated his own tickets for the podcast. So we appreciate it. Not Patreon money, by the way. His own personal money.
Own personal money, yeah.
That's right. Real money. The real stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we appreciate it. And so, again, yeah, make sure you enter to win that. I feel like we should say more about the trade rumors, but there's really not more to say. It's just at this point, we just kind of have to wait and see, you know, what's going to come. And it's, I'm telling you, it's exciting. It's stressful. It's like, oh, my God, what could happen? And you just start to go through all the scenarios in your head of what if it was Kane? What if it was Keith? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's harrowing. That's kind of the best word for it. Like, holy moly, what is going to happen?
I thought you were going to make a comment about needing heroin when you're dealing with all this, and I was going to say, Jay, we don't condone drug use on this podcast.
Oh, I do.
Well, that is true. I mean, that's what the Patreon money goes towards, so.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up the normal portion of the show. When we come back, we will answer all your listener emails and wrap things up. So, again, we'll assign – oh, and of course, I forgot, almost forgot – the best email of the show wins a free breakfast to Chuck's Cafe and, of course, one of the hockey cards from my great collection of 90s hockey cards. So stick around for the email segment on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
Welcome back into the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. We have reached everyone's favorite portion of the show when we give away a hockey card and a free breakfast to Chuck's Southern Cafe. Jay, cue up that beautiful email music.
Email the guys at madhousepod@gmail.com or follow them on Twitter @madhousepod.
The email segment, as always, is brought to you by our friends at Chuck's Southern Comforts Cafe with two locations in Burbank, 6501 West 79th Street, and in Darien, 8025 South Cass Avenue. Check out chuckscafe.com for locations and specials. The specials, I'm telling you, that's where it's at. Everything's great at Chuck's. But the specials are outstanding. My favorite special is a Saturday special, the Coach Anita Pabil, which is a pork shoulder marinated in achiote, cooked in banana leaves. It's just the best thing you've ever had in your whole entire life. And when I get the electric chair, that will be my meal of choice. They also have fantastic jambalaya, the best they've ever had. Great barbecue nachos when I'm just feeling kind of basic. When I'm feeling like a basic bitch, That's what I'll order, the barbecue nachos. They've got great Mexican barbecue and Cajun offerings. Like I said, the daily specials are always incredible. And there is truly something for everyone at Chuck's Cafe. You will not go in there and be like, this isn't for me. There is something for everyone. You like to drink? Sure you like to drink. Why the hell not? They've got a great beer bar with dozens of craft beers and an ever-rotating beer menu. They have a beer club. If you drink every beer, I think there's 120 beers they have there. If you drink them all... not in the same night, hopefully. But if you drink them all, you get your picture on a wall and some cool stuff. So try to do that. Some woman did it in 2 weeks. Pretty amazing. They also offer catering services, banquets, and more. They've appeared on Chicago's Best, Food Network's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Pretty much any show you can think where someone travels to see a restaurant, they were on there. So visit chuckscafe.com or follow them on Twitter @chuckscafe. All right. Without further ado, the emails. Got an email here. From Nate in the Quad Cities area. That's very vague, Nate. Thank you. He said, I know Scott Darling spoiled us by being a capable backup or fringe starter, but do you really think the Hawks are comfortable with Glass as their backup for next year? No. I would feel better if they could find a UFA like Anders Nielsen or Chad Johnson, just someone who has some kind of NHL experience, unless they think Corey can handle 65 to 70 games. (Woof.)
No, he cannot.
No, he can't.
And I wouldn't expect him to. I definitely think the Blackhawks will go after somebody like Nielsen, like Johnson. I think those are two really good names. Maybe there will be another name pop up in trade rumor that we haven't seen yet. I saw Antti Raanta might get traded to, I believe, Calgary. Hmm. They've been kicking the tires on him, so a trade could work here too. I'm just saying they will get an NHL caliber backup. They will not go into the season with Jeff Glass in that role. There is just no way at all.
The Blackhawks are 100% searching for a number two and a number three goalie. So they're looking to add two goalies this offseason. So however that happens, I think a trade could be a possibility, but they know that they need help at goal. The answer is not Jeff Glass. I promise you that. Got an email here from Ken Bachelman. Says, hello, gentlemen. For a series that's tight, with the exception of game one, games two through five have been blowouts. We talked about this earlier. There's been very little drama, as the outcome of these games have been decided long before the final horn. The awful officiating that was seen in earlier rounds has been on display in this series, too. Going in, I was expecting a great series, and this has been anything but. Do you guys recall a final series that went six or seven games where the individual games were kind of meh? 2011 with Boston and Vancouver come to mind, as that series had a couple of blowouts. One more thing, these two days off between games really grind my gears. End of rant, Ken Bachelman. See, I think the hockey's been pretty good. And you're right, Ken, like we said earlier, the outcomes have been established pretty early on, but they've done their job in staying sort of entertaining till the end. Maybe it's just because I love hockey so much that I can just watch any crap and just kind of like it. But yeah. I don't know. I felt like, of course, it'd be great for every game to be a one-goal game and overtime and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, I'm trying to think of another one that's like that. And that Boston-Vancouver series comes to mind. I think part of that, too, was sort of the bad taste in everybody's mouth after the way the Hawks went out in 2011. I don't know. I'm struggling to think of anything that was sort of this lopsided, though.
Yeah. Or, like, sort of this boring. Like, 2014 came to mind for me between the Kings and Rangers. That was a really kind of a afterthought series because you just knew the Western Conference team was going to roll whoever came out of the East. So, I think, to me, that would be one that immediately came to mind.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably about right. It sounds right. That did seem like a foregone conclusion. Whoever won that final was going to win the cup.
Yeah.
Q. They stop playing Brandon Bolig.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
You triggered me. All right. A short one here from Keith Schultz.
Sorry, Snowflake.
Yeah. Keith says, what's your all-time favorite Blackhawks alternate jersey? Ooh.
Ooh.
All right. I like the most recent Winter Classic with the old school warrior head where the Native American looks a little more weathered. Looks a little more tired, worn out. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Looks like an older in age-faced Native American. I like that old-school-looking logo. So the most recent winter, the ones they wore against Washington. No.
St.
The Blues.
Louis.
The
yeah.
one, they all run together. The ones they wore against the Blues I like the best.
2009 Winter Classic against the Red Wings.
Original?
Yep. I think that one is my favorite. The barber pole that they wore during, I think it was the 94 season, were really good. You still see those all over the place, but I'm going with 09.
We're going to get a ton of emails about the barber pole jerseys, and I love those too. I absolutely love those. I think they just sort of scream 90s when I see them.
Yep.
It's not even like they're not obviously not from the 90s, but I just associate them with that when I see it. So, yeah, I'm going to skip that one for now. Not the biggest fan of the barber pole. They're cool. I get it. I get why people like them. But I'm going to go with the, like I said, this year's. Was it this year? God, they all run together, man. It's crazy. The most recent Winter Classic jersey. I'm trying to find my computer charger if I sound distracted.
It's okay.
There we go. I thought I was plugged in and I was not. And I just got the, your battery is very low.
Naughty boy.
And we're plugged in. There we go. All right. Michael Lev, a frequent emailer to our show. Says Laz, that's Mark Lazarus, tweeted a lot of noise around Hjalmarsson. A lot of noise around Hjalmarsson. If they move him, is next year a retool and develop talent year?
Yes.
If that happens, I personally believe they miss the playoffs. What do you think is the likelihood of that? And if they do, playoff likelihood in your opinions? I'd be crushed since he's my favorite player in Chicago since Daze. I agree with everything except the Daze part. Like I said, when we were sort of crunching the numbers here and doing the mental math, that's a name I kept coming back to, is Nicholas Hjalmarsson. And, man, losing him would suck. And I didn't see Laz tweet about it today. I've actually been out all morning and then just sat down to do the podcast. But there's another name. There's another guy that's saying Nicholas Hjalmarsson. So, ugh, boy, that I can't imagine that. I guess I have to. you know. But it's, that really hurts the team. And, yeah, it does become, I think, a developmental year. I still think they'll make the playoffs without Nicholas Hjalmarsson, but there's no way they win a cup without him. No way.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't think they make it without him.
They don't make the playoffs?
I don't think so, no.
Wow. All right, what about Seabrook?
I think they can. It's just a matter of how they use the money that they save by trading him. If they go out in free agency or get another guy in a trade, a good defenseman, I still think they can. Hjalmarsson, I just don't. I don't see you saving enough money that you can go out and replace him adequately. I don't think they make the playoffs. They trade him.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. And boy, I just needs to happen so I can stop thinking about it. It's all I think about. I was laying in bed last night like, all right, it could be Seabrook. Like, what teams would want him? And I'm just laying there at like 3 in the morning, like doing the math in my head. Go to bed. Go to bed and you'll find out eventually.
Jay, you have a wife. You need to cut that out.
I know. It's been driving me crazy. Like, ever since Friday night, it's really been kind of like obsessing my mind is like, what's going to happen? And you know me, I love trades. Like, it's my favorite thing. Like, trade deadline day is like a national holiday for me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and speaking of trades, we had a lot of reaction via email, via Twitter, at MadhousePod. And everywhere about your trade proposal last week. You want to remind the kids what that was?
Yeah, a lot of people seem to think it was a straight-up deal. I'm going to qualify it and say that I still think the Blackhawks would need a little bit more. But I had brought up the idea of trading Artemi Panarin to Vegas for the number 6 overall pick in the draft this summer. The Blackhawks, I think, want to move up. They want to make a splash in their draft at their building. I think that could be a really interesting way to do it, and I get the sense that not a lot of people agreed with me.
I liked it. I thought it was a great idea. I actually fired Stan Bowman and named you new GM. our buddy Sean White, who is our scout expert, he is a scout for the Green Bay Gamblers. He chimed in to me and said, look, the idea itself isn't bad, but there's no one that the Hawks are going to get at 6 that's going to be worth giving up Artemi Panarin. So
Sean fired me and rehired Stan Bowman, so...
I know it's your job to scout people and stuff, Sean, but you know what? Shut up. All right?
Jay just wants the drama, man.
Don't mess with my guy.
Yeah.
No, no. Don't mess with my guy.
Oh, God.
All right? He knows his stuff. He may have pulled it out of his ass, but it doesn't matter. It was genuine and sincere, and I liked it. So it's certainly wrong.
I think it was at least interesting. I think it was at least an interesting idea.
At least interesting. We should put that as our podcast description.
I agree.
It's at least interesting. All right, we're going to take one more quick timeout. When we come back, we will award the emailer of the show a hockey card. I've already pulled it, so to speak, and it's a good one, and award the same person a delicious breakfast courtesy of Chuck's Southern Coverage Cafe. Stick with us. One more segment to go on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
We are back in the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast, kind of wrapping up here, getting all feeling good before the end of our weekend. We are going to give away our breakfast and our hockey card. Jay, where's that breakfast to again? I forget.
Chuck's Southern Comforts Cafe, locations in Darien, just north of Cass Avenue. Just north of I-55 on Cass Avenue, and then in Burbank on 79th Street, just west of Narragansett. I think it's officially Natchez is the street, 79th and Natchez, but Narragansett is sort of the major street nearby. So it's literally a block or two west of Narragansett on 79th. So the winner will receive a delicious breakfast to Chuck's Southern Comforts Cafe, either location, and an Upper Deck Saku Koivu Star Rookie card. That's pretty good.
Isn't that the one you drew last week?
No, that was Michael Pekka.
Ah, yeah.
You ass. Get it right.
Yeah, but it was a rookie card. It threw me a little bit.
It was. It was the Michael Pekka rookie card.
Yeah.
But the winner this week brings home Saku Koivu, Upper Deck Rookie. Go.
With this alternate jersey question, we have awarded Keith the free breakfast. Congratulations to you, sir. Enjoy your breakfast. And I really enjoyed thinking about which of the 16 Winter Classic jerseys that I like the best.
Which of the 4,000 Winter Classic jerseys do you prefer? All right, well, email us that. That's an assignment for the class. Which was your favorite Hawks alternate jersey of all time? MadhousePod@gmail.com. And, of course, you can always email us there. Your questions for the podcast as well. Remember, don't forget, enter at Patreon patreon.com/madhousepod. You have to be a patron to win, but you have until the 17th to enter, and a patron that pledges $1 a month is qualified. Mm-hmm. So if you can afford $1 a month, you can enter. So if you sign up by then, you'll be in the contest, ready to go. Addie is here and wants to say hello. Say hi.
Hi.
She's very mad we're not doing Addie's Fashion Corner this week. But I told her we'll save it until the Vegas Golden Knights debut their jerseys. And that will be her first segment back.
I think that's an excellent idea.
She's crying. She's crying over it.
You're such a mean guy.
I know. All right, well, congratulations to Keith. You have an awesome breakfast and a pretty cool hockey card. So thank you for listening. Thank you for emailing. But, yeah, enter that, patreon.com/madhousepod. Send the email to – and we will check if you're a patron. I know we're announcing this on the podcast. You can just follow the rules and enter. But we will check. I have a list of people that have donated. So I'll know if you're lying. So sign up on Patreon, pledge $1, pledge $5, whatever you want to do, and we'll get you entered in that contest. The deadline to enter is June 17th at 11:59 p.m. We'll draw that winner on the 18th. Send draft ticket entry as your subject and taco as your keyword. Include the best phone number to reach you, and we'll get in touch if you win. But again, thank you for listening to the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast, which has been brought to you by our friends at Triple Threat Sports. For all of your team outfitting needs, call Chris at 708-478-6090. Mariska's in Crest Hill, family-owned and operated since 1933. And Chuck's Southern Comforts Cafe, with locations in Burbank and Darien. Visit chuckscafe.com. James and I will talk to you later this week, hopefully with some big Hawks news to break down and a Stanley Cup final to put a bow on. Until then, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.